he portrayed? That is the question when it comes to Jakob Poeltl. And Jeremy Sochan, can he shoot? Well, our guest is, well, let's just say he's getting dragged on social media.
You are Locked On Spurs, your daily San Antonio Spurs podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to Locked On Spurs right here on the Locked On NBA Network. I'm your host, Jeff Garcia, Spurs writer for Ken's 5 San Antonio. Glad to have you back. Happy Friday, everybody. Hope you're having a great day recovering from another late game last night versus the Kings. Yeah, brutal. Brutal West Coast trip, especially for those in San Antonio and in the East Coast. Those Spurs fans that'll stay up to the very last second, even if it means 1 a.m. But we're here to talk about Jakob Poeltl. He is in a contract season, as everybody knows. But the question now is, do the Spurs keep him or do they trade him, despite the fact he's having a pretty good season? And also, we're going to be talking about Jeremy Sochan and his shooting and why our guest got dragged recently by Spurs fans. Hey, thanks for making Locked On Spurs your first listen each and every day, free and available wherever you get podcasts. And today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this season for more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online, where the game starts. Let's go ahead and bring in our guest, the man of the hour, the man who has been the target of Spurs fans the last few days. He is my good friend, Michael Jimenez with San Antonio Sports Star, host of Halftime with Jimenez, or Mike Jimenez, I should say. Follow him on Twitter at MikeESPNSA. Mike, welcome back to Lockdown Spurs. How are you doing, man? You sure love riling up the Spurs fan base, don't you?
Yeah, you know, I'm doing very well, but going to be honest with you. My heart skipped a beat when I saw that Jeremy Sochan liked one of the tweets about all the things that we were discussing. So obviously he read this and he knows about it.
Well, you definitely stirred up the fan base recently because of your tweet about Sochan and his mid-range shooting. Oh, man, you got dogpiled. You got dogpiled pretty bad.
I understand. And it's so funny because there's a big difference between what I said and what people heard or what people perceived. But, you know, I'm the scapegoat. You know, it's a long season for Spurs fans. They need to direct their negativity someplace. So I'll be that guy. I'll be the scapegoat.
There is a friend of the show, Angel Gutierrez. He tweeted to Jimenez that he said all Mike was looking for was a heaping portion of attention. And he got it from Sochan and Spurs fans. But look, we'll talk about Mike's tweet that got the Spurs fan base riled up in just a few minutes. But the big question now to start off the show is Jakob Poeltl. Look, Mike, he's having a pretty good season. One of the better players on the roster right now. Up in his game in several. Yeah. Up in his game in several categories. Looking pretty good. Had a career night recently, scoring wise. But he's in a contract year. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. What has the eye test, the numbers been talking to you when it comes to Jakob Poeltl this season? What do you like? What don't you like from him?
You know, what I like about Jakob Poeltl right now is he is figuring out the game offensively. And he's being more aggressive on the offensive end. And that's been the one thing that has frustrated me as a Spurs fan, is the fact that Jakob seemed to be tentative the first couple of years with the team. Especially with putbacks. It was almost like he was being very passive towards doing it, not as aggressive. I mean, we see this with Sochan. Sochan gets the rebound, he throws it down, right? But when it comes to Jakob Poeltl, he seemed to kind of just like lay it in, and it didn't seem like he had much of an offensive game. But this year, he has been remarkable offensively. He has a career high right now in rebounds per game, over 10 per game. But man, I mean, he's shooting over 65% for the year. That is amazing. And over the course of the last, you know, 4 or 5 games, he's at a clip of 74, 75%. I mean, against Portland, he was 14 out of 17 for crying out loud. He now knows his spots and he now knows when is the time to shoot. And his percentage is so high that I'm very impressed with what he's been able to do this year. And I think he's finally figuring out where he's supposed to be playing with Keldon and Devin Vassell and knowing that the ball's going to come his way more often than it had been in years past.
Yeah, you look at the numbers, and as you mentioned, you know, performing pretty well. He's close to a career high. I mean, just a hair away in points per game this season right now, 13.4 points per game. Last season, 13.5. So he's on pace to maybe break that. But rebounds are up, 10 a game right now. Last year, it was 7. His surprisingly, when I thought he didn't have another gear in him as far as another level to go up, he does. He is averaging 3.7 assists. Last year, Jimenez, 2.8. So he's getting involved in the whole passing the ball, the beautiful game light, as a lot of Spurs fans have been calling this year's team. But still a liability from deep. He's not a shooting big, as maybe a Joker is with Denver or Cat with Minnesota. And his field goal is up this year, 65%. But again, a lot of it is just in the paint kind of work. He tries. He's been trying to do a little put shot outside of the paint near the free throw lines. But, you know, that doesn't really go to that as well. So, if anything, you're getting a better facilitating big this year out of Jakob and a more aggressive, as you pointed out. But he's in a contract year. I know we're going to talk about that in just a few minutes, what to do with him or not. But for a guy that is his size, you can't forget this intangible, Jimenez. He's durable. You see guys like Zach Collins go down, with bigs go down with injuries. Zion Williamson go down with injuries. But yet here's Poeltl nearly playing all games, a full season, and he's very durable. Do you factor that in when you ponder the question to keep him or not keep him?
You know, all over the course of the past 2 years, I was thinking to myself, this is somebody that you flip for a pick. Yeah. And I've been saying that from the get-go. But this year, I am not 100% sold on flipping him for a pick anymore. I think that if the Spurs decide to keep him, I'd be happy. You know, if you take a look at all the centers in the NBA, is he an elite center? The answer is no. He's not. He's not Nikola Jokic. He's not Karl-Anthony Towns or Joel Embiid. He's not of that caliber. However, he's very good. He's a second-tier center, and that's still something worth building around. Yeah. So it all depends. I don't want to flip Jakob Poeltl for a first-round pick that's going to be, you know, pick number 20 or 25 or 30. Now, if the Spurs were offered two first-rounders, okay, I can see that being something worth considering. But getting a end of the first round draft pick for him is not really the thing. The question is, should the Spurs pay him what he's worth, and exactly what is he worth right now?
Right. Well,
I think around $9 million per year.
Well, I got a little pushback on that. I think he is. See that word elite. That there's something there. I would put him up there with Joel Embiid, and just hear me out. As one of the best centers in the league. You look at some of his rankings at his position. Okay, so among NBA centers, currently, he's third in field goal percentage, fourth in offensive rebounds, fifth in assists, sixth in steals, and 10th in field goals made. A little outside of the 10, the 1 through 10 mark, he's the 12th in rebounds and 15th in points. That's pretty good, Jimenez. That's really good. Like he was an offensive juggernaut. You know, his points, he's ranked about 15th among centers currently. But, I mean, when you even have last year Joel Embiid come out and publicly proclaim that Jakob is the most underrated center in the league, that goes a long way.
It does go a long way. And I wasn't trying to say anything negative towards him. I don't want to be looked at that way. I just think that he is not a dominant center. That's why I don't call him elite. He's very good. I mean, I would probably say that, I mean, you could argue that he is probably a top 6 to 8 center in the league. And if you want to say top 4, well, you know, on some days he shows that. So, he's a very, very, very good center. And it's something that he has blossomed over the past couple of years. And even this season alone, take a look at his numbers from October to November, night and day difference. You talk about the fact that he is one tenth of a point away from averaging.
Imagine a career high. Yeah.
But if you take a look at the last 4 or 5 games, he's averaging like 17, 18 points per game. So it's something that is trending upwards. He is going to average a career high in points, assists, and rebounds this year. And because of that, you have to look at it and go, well, we flip him for a pick. Exactly what kind of pick are we going to get for that type of player? Last year when the Spurs flipped Derek White for a first-rounder, I knew that the Spurs could get a Derek White type of talent. And when the Spurs flipped Thad Young for a first-rounder, I knew the Spurs could get a talent that was just as good, right? So those were logical trades, logical flips. But when it comes to Jakob Poeltl, you're not going to get the same amount of talent for a first-round draft pick that's going to be number 22, 25, or 28.
Right.
So it might be in the best interest of the Spurs and the best interest of Keldon Johnson and Devin Vassell and Jeremy Sochan for the Spurs to keep Jakob Poeltl. He fits. He seems to be well-liked. He is showing that he is working on his game. His offensive game is getting better. Defensively, he brings it. I am now going into the side of the camp of saying we got to keep Jakob.
It's
affordable to do so.
All right. Well, we're going to expand on that in just a few minutes with Michael Jimenez of San Antonio Sports Star, host of Halftime with Mike Jimenez at the San Antonio Sports Star. Hey, this episode is brought to you by Masterclass. Now, what is Masterclass? Oh, Masterclass is an accessible classes, basically, on your phone, web, or smart TV. It offers classes on a wide variety of topics, all taught by world-class instructors at the top of their fields. Each class is broken down into individual video lessons, usually around 10 minutes long. Members can explore at their own pace, and each class is supported by downloadable materials, class guides, recipes, or more. You can find all that available over at masterclass.com. Now, they got hundreds of videos from 180 plus of the top most brilliant minds, and they are available anytime, anywhere on iOS, Android, desktop, Apple TV, Amazon Fire TV, and Roku. Look, annual membership starts at $180 per year. Want to learn how to write? Well, they got that. You want to learn how to write a book or a screenplay? They got that. Learn how to make dinner worthy of a Michelin star? They got that. Whether you're interested in whatever it could be, there is a class for you. Again, over 180 exclusive classes taught by instructors you know and love. Want to learn how to sing? Use your voice as an instrument? Guess who teaches that? Mariah Carey. Keldon Johnson would love that. You want to learn business strategy? Guess who teaches that at Masterclass? Bob Iger. Cooking? Gordon Ramsay. They are there, and they are available for you right now at Masterclass. Once again, go to masterclass.com. We are back with Michael Jimenez right here on Locked On Spurs. Follow him on Twitter at MikeESPNSA. We're talking about Jakob Poeltl. And then in a few minutes, we're going to be talking about the tweet that has Spurs fans all riled up. Michael Jimenez's opinion on Jeremy Sochan's shooting. Yeah, we're going to talk about that and much, much more. Hey, thanks for making Locked On Spurs your first listen today. Second listen, check out Locked On Spurs today. Go beyond the scoreboard, behind the scenes with local experts. Insights that only Locked On can provide, available on this app and YouTube and wherever you get podcasts. So Jimenez, to trade or not to trade Jakob Poeltl. So we highlighted a lot of the X's and O's, the numbers, the eye test. We got all that covered. But he could net the Spurs a nice little haul in this supposed to be rebuild season, but they're trying to win every game. But nevertheless, do you flip him to acquire assets, whether it be players or picks, for the rebuild now while his stock is high, or keep him and perhaps lose out on that opportunity? You know, the Spurs have a lot to deal with here. If you were GM Brian Wright of the Spurs, what would you do right now with Jakob?
Well, I like the word that you used there. You said the word haul. That's what I think it would take for Jakob Poeltl. I don't want a pick. I want a haul, because this is not just somebody who is a rotation player. This is not somebody who's the sixth man on the roster. This is somebody who's a legit starting center who's probably tier two quality. You deserve a haul for a Jakob Poeltl, especially considering the fact that it's an expiring deal. And if you don't want him, you can you can just drop him if you don't want him at that point. Fact of the matter is that he has blossomed into a very good player. He's still in his 20s. He's going to be a very attractive asset for playoff contending teams. The Spurs, though, I wouldn't flip him for one pick. You got to get more than just that for him. I was very, very supportive of the Thad Young trade, very supportive of the Derek White trade. A lot of Spurs fans hated the fact that the Spurs traded Derek White, and I was all about it because I didn't see him fitting on this team. And I was like, first rounder, take it. Mm-hmm. Jakob Poeltl, though, man, when the season started, I said flip him. But now, you know, more than a dozen games into the season, I have hit the pause button on that. He is proving that he is getting better as the years are going on. Right now, I say keep him unless you get that haul.
Yeah, there's also the other side of the coin, too, is looking at the rest of the big man depth. And then Zach Collins, you know, we know his issue, you know, injury prone. You know, he has a leg injury right now he's dealing with. There's Charles Bassey, but unproven commodity of yet, you know, fan favorite right now. But can he sustain this throughout the season? And that's it. That's pretty much it. Now, there is the bigger, big prize down the road. That could be Wembanyama if the Spurs tank out and get that number one pick. But again, that's just up there. You know, you have Jakob Poeltl, who's a proven commodity right now, giving you the numbers, ranking among the best centers in the league right now. The numbers show it. You know, there's also this too, Jimenez, and get your thoughts on this. In the offseason, he made it clear. One, he likes San Antonio. He likes the team. Mm-hmm. Two, but he's remained non-committal. He didn't re-sign with the Spurs. He and his camp and the team, they know the Spurs got a lot of money to pay him. Perhaps he's betting on himself to test the free agency waters. There could start a bidding war for him because he would enter restricted free agency, Jimenez. And if he decides to go off somewhere else, the Spurs are going to be left empty-handed. Do you think that risk perhaps pushes the scales towards trading him now?
Well, that's the thing about the trade deadline. I mean, the Spurs have to check the temperature on that going into the trade deadline. If he is non-committal to the team, well, then you flip him for whatever you can get. But if he seems to want to be here, you got to ask the question, what is his worth? And whether or not the Spurs want to pay him that amount. So I'm taking a look at these salaries that these stud centers of the NBA get. And, you know, Spurs fans aren't used to seeing numbers like $30 million per season. Mm. And I don't know if Jakob is worth $30 million, but somebody might pay him that much.
I can see a team paying him, yeah, that much. Yeah, definitely. I can see that.
Yeah, I mean, the elite centers, like, you know, if you were to take a look at, like, Nikola Jokic or Karl-Anthony Towns and Joel Embiid, you know, those are max guys. Those are getting $50 million a year. But the level below it, you know, the Anthony Davis of the world at $37 million, the DeAndre Ayton at $33 million. I mean, tell me that Jakob Poeltl is that much worse than DeAndre Ayton. They're probably
not. No, they're probably better.
Yeah. They could be better or the same, you know. But other names out there, like Al Horford, for crying out loud, makes $27 million. Nikola Vucevic makes $25 million. I think that is kind of the area that he's in, and that would make him the highest paid Spur. But that's his going rate, the market rate. It's going to be north of 20. And I put a poll out on my Twitter account, at MikeESPNSA. Had like 400 people vote on this, asking the question, would you rather pay Jakob $20 million or flip him for a pick? And more people are saying that they would rather keep him. And I'm starting to get in that direction too, because I think he's worth more than just a random first round draft pick. The guy is showing that he's actually a tier two level center. And I'm not saying that to disrespect him. I don't think he's tier one. I don't think he's Embiid. Okay. I don't think he's that guy. But he's right below them.
Yeah, and a hair away, yeah.
Yeah, that's worth something. And he's got to get paid. Because I kind of feel like a lot of Spurs fans, when they saw Keldon Johnson's deal, what did Keldon get, like $20 million
a year? Yeah, yeah.
And they were like, I can't believe he's getting paid $20 million. I was like, I can't believe it either. Keldon needs to get paid about $28 million. He took a discount to stay with the Spurs. I'm sorry. He should have been signed for more dollars. He's worth more than that. In the NBA.
Sure. Yeah.
But Jakob Poeltl, his going rate right now, I put in that poll 17 to 20 million. The more I look at it, it's probably closer to 25.
Yeah, I think I can go either way, and that's not a cop out. I can go either way. If you keep him, fine. He's going to get paid fine because the Spurs can absorb a nice pay bump for him and still afford to chase a big name free agent because other players are going to come off the books next year. Fine. But if you trade him now, this season, you know, before the trade deadline, then fine. That progresses, you know, the rebuild. Perhaps his stock rises. His stock is on the rise right now. And right now, if your team trade Jakob, it's close to the perfect time to strike and make a deal. And I think teams will do that. There's been rumblings since last year that the Hornets have been interested in him. I don't know if that's cool. I could see the Raptors trying to get him again, reacquire him. They drafted him. You can see that. I can see teams that are right there in the playoff hunt to look for a player in the paint that can push him over the edge. If you're going to go up against a Phoenix, like with Ayton or Denver with Joker and Embiid, you know, we need another center. We need another guy that can help us contend with that. Jakob is there. So, yeah, I need to see if he still progresses. But I'm good either way. You keep him, great. He's going to get a pay bump. Spurs can afford it and still have enough money to chase free agency. If a free agent wants to come here, you trade him now. I get it. I totally get that because you might lose him for nothing. Yeah, we shall see what the Spurs do with the big man in the middle. When we get back, we're going to be putting Mike in the spotlight because he tweeted something that got Spurs fans riled up about the rookie Jeremy Sochan to the point that, my God, he got dragged bad a couple days ago. We're going to talk about that and more with Michael Jimenez right here on Locked On Spurs. Follow him on Twitter at MikeESPNSA. This episode is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline.net is your number one source for sports betting information, stats, news, and analysis. Get all the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there, from football to basketball, soccer, esports, much, much more. In other words, they got it all covered over at BetOnline.net. If you love sports podcasts, you got those too over at BetOnline. Go check it out. They're the fastest and easiest way to get your betting fix. Head to the website today. You got yourself a mobile device, a laptop, a cell phone, a tablet, whatever you need to do. Go over to the website right now. Go to betonline.net. It is your number one source for sports betting information, and it's where the game starts. We're back with Mike Jimenez right here on Locked On Spurs. He is with San Antonio Sportster and host of Halftime with Mike Jimenez. So, Michael, we come to the moment of probably Spurs fans are listening to right now because, oh boy, you did it again, Jimenez. Every time I get a text from Jimenez saying, hey, look what I just put out, I'm like, oh no, what did you do? What did you do this time? And you did it again. So Jimenez, do you want to set it up? Do you want to talk about what you put out there in the Twitter sphere when it comes to Jeremy Sochan and his shot?
Okay, so first of all, a big difference between what I said and what people heard. But I'm not apologizing, and I'm not backing down from my take. Here's the thing. I think that people think that I conspire to say what I say to try to get a reaction, because that's what a lot of people said on Twitter. They're like, Jimenez was doing a Jimenez thing. He's looking for attention. No. When I have my radio show Monday through Friday at noon, I am not sitting there going, I hope I piss people off by saying that. I am not that smart. I just start talking about sports and I bring certain things up and then I start going on it and building on it. And the fact of the matter is that Spurs fans got pissed off because I said something that they did not want to hear. And on top of all of this, you see that Jeremy Sochan's following the conversation online. So I tweeted out there that I would love for Jeremy Sochan to never shoot the ball outside of 5 or 10 feet, pretty please, sugar on top. That's all I said. And people got pissed off. Oh my dude, the guy should not be shooting 2.5 to 3 three-point shots per game. He is not a three-point shooter. What is he doing out there chunking up these three-pointers? And everyone's saying, he's a rookie. They're going to start to fall. And I'm like, no, they're not going to start to fall because he's not a shooter. He shot 28% from three in college. Right now he's shooting 18% in the pros. He's not a shooter. That is nothing wrong with that. Develop an offensive game inside of 10 feet like Jakob Poeltl has. Develop a mid-range game. That's all I'm saying. And everyone's like, well, you know, we saw Kawhi Leonard improve a three-point shooting. Carl Schoenig, by the way, tries to, you know, throw flames on me when it came to all of this. Was like, Keldon Johnson missed 25 straight three-pointers in the G League. And look, he's now a 39% shooter in the NBA. Excuse me, McFly? He shot 38% from three in college. He was already a shooter. He just had a bad month. Okay? Shooters know how to shoot. He was a 38% shooter in college. He was a 39 to 40% shooter in the pros. He's getting a little bit better. Devin Vassell was a shooter in college. He took a dip when he came to the pros. It's a different game. And then he built it back up to where he was in college and is now exceeding what he did in college. He was a shooter. Jeremy Sochan has never been a shooter. So why are they allowing him to shoot the ball so often from three? That's all I said. I never said that he sucks. I never said that he's a bad player. I said I've been coming around to him being a first-round draft pick.
You managed to fire it up here.
He wasn't my choice at nine, but he's growing on me. The guy gets the 50-50 ball. He hustles. It's a weird thing that he's a hybrid between Rodman and Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan and all of these players. It's a weird mix. I'm not used to it. He hustles. The players respond to him. A lot of what he does doesn't come out on the stat sheet. I get it. I like him. There's more positives than negatives. Just develop a mid-range game. Develop a bank shot. Do more of those spin moves down low. Finish. I mean, he likes to finish. He gets the rebound. He dunks it back in.
Yeah.
Love it. Mm-hmm. More of that. But when the ball gets thrown to you 20 feet from the basket, just pass it. You ain't gonna.
But here's the deal.
Just pass.
Well, look. Look, I don't want to cut you off. You're on your rant right now. I get it. But let's look at some of the numbers. Let's look at some of the numbers. Okay, so let's look at the shot distance, the splits on that. You're right. At the rim, he's good. 35 shots at the rim. He's made 28, 80 effective field goal percentage at 80%. So there you have it. All right. So we go a little further out. 3 to just below 10 feet. He's taking 21 shots, he misses. He's made 7, 33%. Okay. Now, in the 10 to 16 foot range or below 16 foot, not many shots. He's taken 2 and he's made them both. So between 10 to about 15.9 feet, 2 for 2. Now, 16 feet to right, like the toe of below the three line, he's taking 2 shots. He's made them both. Now comes the 3-point shot. 33. Now, as of this recording, this is recorded before the Sacramento game, everybody. So just heads up on that. He's taken 33 3-point attempts. He's made 6. Okay. Now, Popovich has made it very clear. Sochan and pretty much everybody else has the green light to shoot. That is just the way the NBA is built right now. They got to develop them. I do agree with the Spurs fans that it is a bit too soon to start. You know, piling on him the way, well, I would say piling on him, but to call him out as early as you did, as far as him taking the mid-range shots and beyond. So you've heard the argument before, Jimenez. They throw names like Keldon Johnson. Keldon Johnson last year was a terrible three-point shooter for about first half of the season and then just blossomed second half and beyond till this year. You mentioned Vassell. You know, but many people aren't talking about this. His mid-range game between 10 to 16 feet has exploded. Like, it's really good. You should look at those numbers. And then there's also past history from Kawhi to Tony Parker. They needed time. Do you think maybe you're a bit premature to call out Sochan's shot so early in his NBA career?
Not at all. Not at all, because he demonstrated he couldn't do it in college. So that's
but Kawhi demonstrated he couldn't do it in college. Tony did it well.
Is Chip Englund going to walk in that door? Because you mentioned Kawhi, you mentioned Tony Parker, you mentioned these players, and guess who they all say is the reason why they were so good at developing a shot and changing their form. the thing about it is this, is that, you know, Vassell and Keldon Johnson should not be part of this whole conversation because they were really good three-point shooters in college. They get to the pros, the game is different. They took a dip in percentage. It's different playing in a college arena compared to an NBA arena. There's better defenses out there. It took a while for the game to slow down for them to get better, but they were good three-point shooters in college, and therefore they were good three-point shooters in the pros. I think the one thing that you would look at is say, okay, well, what about Kawhi Leonard? Kawhi Leonard, I mean, is a one-off, and I guess the Spurs fans are hanging their hat on that, hoping that he can be that guy. But I don't think that they're the same type of player. I don't think offensively they do the same things. I mean, one is a three, and the other one's a four. The other one's a bouncy big. No one called Kawhi Leonard a bouncy big. I mean, they are doing different things on the court. I'm excited about what Sohan can do as a point forward. I know that's been discussed a little bit. I'm excited of what he can do in moving the ball around, rebounding, and developing a low post game. We saw a spin move he did a couple of games ago that was remarkable. So I'm not saying that the guy sucks. I mean, that's the thing. People are hearing what they want to hear. What I'm saying is that I don't think that the three-point shot is actually something that's going to be that he's ever going to excel at.
Were you saying about this whole idea too with Keldon Johnson last year in the first half of the season? Were you saying this as well, saying, "Oh, he's over. It's done. He shouldn't be taking three-point shots anymore"?
No, never said that because he was a good three-point shooter in college.
Okay. Interesting.
Keldon Johnson was a good three-point shooter in college. I don't understand. He shot almost
40%. But he sucked. He sucked for half of the season last year. Like, it's just horrific.
No, it's like baseball things. It's like baseball, man. Things revert to the mean. I remember Derek Jeter one time. You know, Derek Jeter was a 300 hitter for so long, and there was one year where he was like 150 for like 3 months out of the season. I'm like, he's still going to be a 300 hitter at the end of the year. Things revert to the mean. So do I think that Sohan's going to be shooting 18% for the rest of the year? No, it's going to go up because he's a 28 to 30% shooter from three. That it's going to go. He's going to catch fire for a little bit. He's going to get his percentage back up because it can't get much lower. It's obviously going to go up, but we know what he is. He's a 28 to 30, maybe best 31, 32% shooter from three. It's inefficient. Mm-hmm. That is Russell Westbrook type of accuracy. And we make fun of Russell Westbrook. And look how long that guy's been in the league. He's never been able to perform his shot. That is not his shot. That is not the way that he plays. You're not going to excel at all things. Jakob Poeltl was, 14 for 17 the other day? 31 points, very efficient. How many three-pointers did he shoot? Not one. Because that's not his game. That's not what he excels at. Focus on what you excel at and then build on that, because I don't think that he's going to develop confidence in that shot if he's clanking it at 18%. That's all I'm saying. And by the way, I did put out there on Twitter, and I did pin this tweet, that if he does get his shooting at 35% by the end of the year, or at any point of the season, rather, I will color my hair just like he does. I don't care what color it is that they would want it to be. Maybe I'll make that a poll on Twitter.
He's going to
get better at that shot. He's going to get it back up to 25, 28, 30% when it's all said and done, because that's who he is. That's what I'm saying.
Well, look, if any shot outside of a dunk is working for him in this very early season, very early in his NBA career, Jimenez, his hook shot seems to be pretty usable. Now, it's a very small sample size. He's taken 5 hook shots this season. He's made 3. But there's something to build on there. That could work. That's probably another dimension to his game he could work on. Maybe we could talk to Drew Eubanks. Remember that? Drew Eubanks went to the hook shot. So who knows? But, it's interesting to see this because the numbers do back up Jimenez when it comes to three-point shooting, 6 for 33 as of this recording. But I think where Spurs fans had an issue with you was that they felt that maybe it was just too premature to already say, that's it, it's done. you know, he's never going to, well, I mean, I'm not going to put words in your mouth that he is what he is you're not going to see that great improvement as we've seen with other players. But there's one thing that is for sure that's always 100%. Michael Jimenez is 100 for 100 when it comes to riling up Spurs fans. You're good at that, Jimenez. You're good at that. No matter the shot distance, you're good.
People think that I sit here and conspire to like develop controversy, or I sit here and I talk to you about it or whatnot, that I'm trying to rile people up. I just bring up a point and people sometimes like it. Sometimes people hate it. Believe it or not, there have been people who have come to my side and on my defense with this. So this, it's not all Spurs fans who hate me with this take. A lot of them came up to me and said, you know what, you're onto something. Even some people in San Antonio Sports Star who host shows go, Jimenez, you're onto something, but will they say it? No, they won't.
Nope, they won't say it. Yeah.
Don't let me hang myself when it comes to it. But, a lot more positives than negatives when it comes to Sohan. I'm coming around to him. It's just one of those things where you stay in your lane, man, and you get good at certain things and you build on it. You gave the stats. You broke it down. He has the ability to do very well down low and in a very limited two or four shot sample size. He has made some shots in the mid-range game. Dude, feast on that all day, every day. That's obviously he's shown that he can do that. People thinking that I'm, oh my God, my favorite one was, he's just 19 years old, Jimenez, lay off of him. Dude, we complain about college football players and basketball players all day long. This guy's a professional player earning $5.1 million a year. The guy's a professional. Okay. I'm not bagging on a college player. I'm not bagging on a high schooler. Off of it, dude. And you know what? One last thing.
Jimenez is on fire right now.
One last thing. Jeremy Sohan. And Sohan did not block me.
That's good. That's good.
That is good. And that shows a maturity level of Jeremy Sohan that is very, very high. Because DeJounte Murray, that baby, blocked me. All I said about DeJounte Murray was, I don't like the fact that fans were chanting MVP when he was at the free throw line. And the Spurs had an awful record, a losing record, and were chanting MVP. And I thought it was stupid, and he blocked me for that. Jeremy Sohan rolling with the punches. I like it.
With the punches, yeah. So let's read quickly.
Love it. And I want to color my hair. I want to be so wrong out on this. Make me wrong, Jeremy Sohan. Prove me wrong, because I have boxed myself into a corner where I win. Because either I'm right and I win, or I'm wrong. And it turns out that the Spurs have this super stud player, and I win that weight.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think everybody's looking forward to seeing you color your hair, no matter what. Like you put the Lucha Libre face paint on yourself the other night. That was hilarious. Yeah, Michael Jimenez was definitely getting dragged by a handful of Spurs fans a couple of nights ago. You want to see what they had to say? Make sure to follow Jimenez on Twitter at MikeESPNSA and let us know what you think about Jakob Poeltl, trade him or keep him, and especially about Jimenez's take regarding Sohan and his, well, his long range shooting. And if pretty much that Jimenez is saying that Sohan, he is what he is. He didn't prove it in college. He may not prove it at the pro level. Michael, tell us what's going on at the Star and halftime.
Oh, halftime continues to evolve. So now it's called Halftime with Mike Jimenez. That's pretty exciting. It's from 12 to 2, San Antonio Sports Star 94.1 FM, AM 1250. And essentially, the show revolves around a lot of sports takes. We talk a lot of Cowboys, a lot of Spurs. We try to take a deep dive. So the evolution of the show is as opposed to talking about a lot of topics all in one day, we're going to pick three or four topics and really dive deep into them. That's the evolution. I still talk pop culture. I still talk nostalgic things, but it's a little bit different than before. But we're trying to make it all perfect. But the show's from 12 to 2. I have fun. And I tell you what, out of all the shows on San Antonio Sports Star, mine is the one that gets the most callers. And people call in without being prompted half the time. I want to thank all fall into the show because the callers are what make the show special.
Absolutely. And make sure to subscribe to Locked On Spurs wherever you get your favorite podcast, Google Play, Stitcher, iTunes, YouTube page, Ken's 5 Plus app, and much, much more. For your second listen, check out Locked On Sports Today, biggest stories of the day, instant reactions, big game recaps, and the take of the day. So for Michael Jimenez, I am Jeff Garcia. We're going to put a lock on this episode of Locked On Spurs.